And we're back from the stand. I'm Steve Buss, and we're going to talk to the snowbirds. We have Crank, who's snowbird number one, and I don't know your call sign, number eight.
Carney?
Yeah. Okay. Someday you're going to have to tell me the stories behind those call signs.
Maybe one night.
It won't be today.
Yeah. Major Yannick Gregoire is the snowbird lead, and would you introduce your wingman there?
Sure. We brought in lead solo snowbird eight, Captain Seamus Allen, call sign Carney.
All right. What took you so long to get back here?
I know. 33 years is a long time. I got to say, though, being back is very exciting for the whole team and actually all of Canada. I mean, we take great pride in representing Canada and the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. And when we showed up here a couple days ago, man, were we excited.
Yes, we last night at Theater in the Woods, we showed the arrival video, and you can hear someone key a mic and say something about, oh, look at all those airplanes. So none of you had been here before.
Nope, nobody on the team has been to Oshkosh before, either while on duty or just on their spare time. A lot of us have always wanted to come. Sure. So, I mean, when Oshkosh made our schedule this year, it was we couldn't wait to come.
And you also have your own experimental aircraft at home, right?
I do. I've got an RV-4. I commute back and forth, so I live in Moose Jaw, where 431 Air Demonstration Squadron resides. And my wife, being a fighter guy, I've got a house, and my family stayed in Cold Lake while I'm with the snowbirds. So instead of a seven-hour drive, it's about an hour and 50 minutes, and that plane comes in really handy.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it's actually your comment about folks coming in on the arrival. You got to understand that comment in the video, the wow, was from one of the wingmen. And as a wingman, your first job is to stay in formation. So right. The very fact that he had an opportunity to see in his peripheral vision just how many aircraft there was tells you the scale that, we're not used to. And when the show line goes for miles and miles, one of the first things that I'm thinking as a lead solo, where staging is very important to keep the show in the center, is that maybe I don't need to worry about that today.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the 431 Air Demonstration Squadron, now known as the Snowbirds, but you have a lineage that goes back to World War II.
Absolutely. 431 was a Lancaster squadron back in World War World War II, and again, at some point, that squadron got disbanded, and then it wasn't until the late 70s where it actually got rebranded as a 431 Air Demonstration Squadron. The Snowbirds are in our 46th air demonstration year, so the Snowbirds, the term Snowbirds was assigned to the team in 1971, but the squadron didn't exist until 1979, actually.
Okay. And the Snowbird name comes from a contest that was actually held on base to try to name the
exactly.
Demonstration
it's
team.
Pretty cool. I mean, our base is pretty small. Community relations is very important. So when they were looking for a name for the team, they opened it up to an elementary school that was on base, and I believe it was an 8-year-old boy that came up with the word Snowbirds, and it's stuck ever since.
And quite apt. How much training goes into? Well, first of all, let's go to the selection process. How does one get to wear the red flight suit?
Well, the selection process. Okay, so for air crew, when you're going to apply to be a wingman, there's obviously certain criteria that you need to meet. Normally we require 1,000 hours of ejection seat time. You have to be recommended and supported by your chain of command, and basically there is. Sorry, did we just cut out?
No, we're good.
Oh, sorry. Yep. So, you have to be supported. Now, when the call for candidates comes out, everybody that's eligible in the Air Force can apply, and then those names get sent to the team. From those names, the whole team will review and select eight, which will get a tryout. The tryouts last anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. It consists of flying. They test your personality, how you're going to mix with the team. They talk about your presence in front of media. And all those factors are very important, and you have a very, very finite time to be able to make an assessment of whether or not this person is going to adequately and accurately represent the skill, the teamwork, and professionalism of the men and women of the Canadian Forces. So that's essentially what you're looking for. But in that 3-week period of time, you're heavily scrutinized, and your flying is analyzed by everyone else. And the one thing that's unique about this team and this unit compared to a lot of other units in the Canadian Forces is that everyone on the team picks their successor. So you have a direct say in whether, you know, the shape of the next team. So 2016 team is picking the 2017 team. And generally we'll have about four wingmen that will change out every year, generally speaking. So of those eight candidates that try out, we'll only pick a maximum of four. And then every other year, the boss will change out. So every 2 years, the boss changes out. And the criteria for the boss is that he is, starts stealing your thunder here, boss, but it's by appointment, and he has to have been previously a wingman on the team. So that adds a lot of experience and a lot of credibility for the bosses that we select.
Okay. How long have you been on the team?
I spent 2 years in 2010, 2011. I was snowbird number four, and this is my first year as a snowbird one.
And how about for you?
This is my second year as a wingman on the team as the lead solo.
Good, good. So you go through the selection process. Obviously, you have the criteria, your logbook, and total time and everything you need, and the chemistry. Really, that has to be a really hard thing to figure out in a very short period of time whether you're actually going to blend as a team.
It is, actually, and we actually devote one night during the trial process. We call it the candidates' dinner, and we invite all the candidates. It's not to grill them per se, but they are sitting at a head table, and they're looking at the whole team, and we kind of throw some funny questions at them to see how they react. We'll throw a bit of snowbird history, some trivia, and see how well they've kind of are familiar with the history and lineage of the snowbird. So that chemistry is very important because, again, snowbirds 8 and 9 are the solos, 6 and 7 are the outers, 2 and 3 are the inners, and 4 and 5 are the stem. And they spend all, kind of like a hockey team where people are paired up,
right.
They spend all summer hanging out together, so they really need to blend and have the chemistry.
So what did it feel like to be at that head table?
When you're actually trying out, you're on the other side, and the rest of the squadron is looking at you, so the pressure's on.
Oh, yeah.
Very different when you're on the other side of that table now, having the, I'd argue that it's more difficult to actually be on the side where you're choosing and you're having to assess and look out what the future generation or the future of the snowbirds is going to be, because it's quite a lot of responsibility, and you do have to make that right decision. And much like you said, you know, there's the professionalism side, but there's that personality side that's very real. It's much like a family, and there are family dynamics, you know, and at the end of the day, when you're spending that much time with the guys nonstop, day in, day out, night in and night out, then there's obviously going to be problem solving that needs to happen and personalities. So that's the hope, that you can identify, not that a person's not going to have problems or issues, but that they're going to be able to resolve them in a timely fashion and in a way that doesn't affect them airborne at all.
Good. And not typical of the U.S. jet teams, which have a support aircraft that takes all the maintenance technicians and officers with them to different places. You have a seat next to you, which is filled with your blue suit person, who is the person who's in charge of the maintenance of each of your aircraft.
Absolutely. Those guys are the backbone and the heartbeat of the team. They work tirelessly to make sure the airplanes are good to go for every single mission. And exactly, we fly. So I fly as team lead. I fly with the crew chief. Number five flies with the deputy crew chief, and every single pilot in the formation flies with a technician that's responsible to maintain the particular airplane that they fly. If you see us unpack our airplanes when we show up at the destination, we've got nooks and crannies all over the airplane that are packed with spare parts. Mind you, the parts that we do bring on the airplane itself are rather small, so they have to fit in the airplane, but we also have a truck that follows us from show site to show site. And again, the way the tutor, we don't have the air-to-air refueling capability. We don't get to go home at the end of every air show and do some maintenance during those 2-3 days between weekends. We do an air show every Wednesday and an air show every weekend, and we tend to leave our home unit and for 5 weeks at a time. And then essentially when we're going, we kind of organize our show schedule where we kind of go out east. And then when we transit out west, we stop in at our home base, do 2-3 days of maintenance, say hello to the families, and then we go away for another 5 weeks. And our show season is essentially five-week blocks of, right. We call them swings. So we're about halfway through our show season right now, halfway through the third swing.
Good. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about the snowbirds and specifically what we are going to see at Oshkosh coming up this weekend. I'm very excited to see your show as well. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Live on From the Stand, this is EIA Radio.